So over the course of January and February, before we head into Lent, we're looking at some of the key conversion stories in the book of Acts and how lives were transformed by the power of God and the power of the good news of Jesus. This morning, to complement that series, we're going to be looking at a passage that answers the question, what happens to a person when they are converted? What causes someone who maybe was dismissive or even antagonistic or even hostile to Jesus to have a change of heart, to be drawn to Jesus and to become a Christian? What brings about such a radical transformation? As I started out as a new Christian, you know, I used to think that if someone was just given the right arguments for Christianity, that they could be persuaded to be a Christian. I thought that that was enough. I thought that we had the ability and intelligence within ourselves to be converted. But as I began to read the Bible and experience rejection after rejection, I realized that there was more to it than that. As this passage will show us, and it is not the only passage that tells us this, something needs to happen to a person to make them a Christian and be saved. Which means it is entirely possible to be a regular churchgoer, be a good and moral and upright person, and have lots of religious activities and commitments that gives the impression of spiritual life. It's possible for a person to do all these things, even be a good person, and still not be a genuine Christian. How do I know this? Because it is all over the Bible. Now, Nicodemus is just one example. This man is a Pharisee, which means he was a leader of the Jewish people. He was a priest who studied and taught people from the Old Testament, who worshipped in the temple and synagogue, who obeyed the commands of God, and was an example of what it meant to be a Jew. Not only was he a committed Jew, he was also born a Jew, ethnically and biologically connected with the father of the Jews, Abraham. If there was anyone who would be in the kingdom of God, and who was worthy of being in the kingdom of God, it would be Nicodemus. Here was a man who was at the pinnacle of religiosity, and the most religious amongst all the Jewish groups. But just because there was a religious life, it does not mean that there was a spiritual life. What Nicodemus needed wasn't a new religion, wasn't some extra piece of new knowledge and insight to make him holier or more religious. What Nicodemus needed was a new life. And one thing we really need to understand is that religious activity does not mean that you and I are spiritually alive. Being in a church building surrounded by Christians does not make someone a Christian, just as standing in a field with cows makes someone a cow, right? It's true. What we need is something to happen to us. Something needs to make us into a new creation. And so what Jesus ultimately tells Nicodemus is this. Nicodemus, all of your religious devotion, all of your good works count for nothing. Nicodemus, you need to start all over again. You need to have a new beginning. Now, in one sense, Nicodemus is alive. He's breathing, his heart is pumping blood around his body, he's feeling, he's speaking and moving, but Jesus implies that he's spiritually dead. The language and imagery that Jesus uses is that being born again, which implies that Nicodemus is spiritually dead. A person needs to be born again to be converted, to become something new, to be spiritually made alive. Now Nicodemus, if you notice in the passage, he affirmed the supernatural in Jesus. He could see the evidence, he could see Jesus' life, and come to the correct conclusion. There was no denying there was divine activity. He could not deny that God must have been with Jesus in the same way that God was with Moses or Jeremiah or any other prophets in the Old Testament. Nicodemus affirmed the supernatural in Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say, well done, Nicodemus. If only everyone in Israel had the same faith as you and could see the truth that you see about me. He didn't say that. Why? Because this was not saving faith. It was not born again faith. Jesus said instead, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." In other words, Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you cannot grasp who I am unless you are born again. What really matters, what really saves you, is not affirming the supernatural in me, but experiencing it for yourself. And that's the key. A supernatural act must happen in you and to you. Something from the outside must do something to you for someone to be converted and be given new life. And Jesus, you know, he has the habit of getting straight to the heart of the issue. If you read the Gospels, you see he doesn't beat around the bush. He goes straight to the heart of the issue. And that here with Nicodemus is seeing and entering the kingdom of God. Tells us is ultimately the work of God. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter heaven. If you're not born again, you are outside of it. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. So what does this mean? Very briefly, two things, and I've touched upon them already. But firstly, being born again means that someone has been given spiritual life. Now Nicodemus shares the misguided thinking of so many people today, that we can see or enter the kingdom of God, that we can go to heaven through our own efforts, right? Being a good person, for example. And we need a movement from God to become a new creation. Our hearts need to be transformed. We need to be regenerated from the inside. To help us understand God's supernatural act and the process of this supernatural act, Jesus used something quite natural to us, the miracle of physical birth. It wasn't read out, but verse 6, Jesus says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit." Now, flesh is in relation to our physical bodies, what we are naturally. Women give birth to flesh. As babies, right, and we've all been babies here, we've had no say in our conception and birth, right? It is a process that happens to us. We are not the cause of our conception and birth. We understand this, right? We get that. We cannot enter this world apart from this process that happens to us. And this is the way God has designed it. And he has designed it this way to teach us something of the new spiritual birth. Spirit gives birth to spirit is the same idea, but of the supernatural process of spiritual conception and spiritual birth, which comes from God, which God causes and God brings about. We do not cause this new birth. Any good works or any acts of obedience and genuine faith in Jesus is a result of the new birth. It comes from the new birth. It is not the cause of the new birth. Now this new birth, like our physical birth, is out of our hands. It is out of our control. And it is out of our say-so. We do not make any contributions to make this new birth happen. It is God who brings it about. It is God who converts. It is done to us and is done for us. In the very first chapter of John's Gospel, we're told from the very beginning, in verse 12 to 13, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And right there we're told from the very beginning, being born again, being a child of God, that human will, human initiative and decision is not involved. It is all God's will and God's initiative. Which means the human race is not in need of a slight modification. Our whole being needs restoration and renewal. And unless this happens to someone, every single person will be unresponsive to Jesus. Unless this happens to someone, everyone will be dismissive of Jesus and even hostile towards him, which means no one can receive him and be saved unless they're given a new birth. And to illustrate this, someone is going to play dead for me. Moses, you're going to come over here. Lie on the floor and pretend you're dead. Okay? Do you know what that means? It means you are unresponsive, right? So imagine, right? Okay, so he's playing. Imagine I go up to a dead person, I go up to a grave, and there's Moses illustrating that for us. And I tell Moses about this wonderful party that is coming when Jesus returns. We're going to be in heaven, in paradise, and Jesus is going to be serving us divine food. It's going to be a feast put on for us. And the party invitation goes out to everyone. Jesus invites everyone to the party. And I go up to a dead person, physically dead person, and I invite them to this party. Moses, would you like to come to this wonderful party? It just means you've got to follow Jesus and believe in Jesus today. Will you come to this party? No response. Unresponsive. Physical people cannot respond because they're dead. In the same way, spiritually dead people are going to be unresponsive to the call of Jesus and the invite of Jesus until they're born again. So when we see people in the book of Acts respond to the good news of Jesus and become Christians, we can assume that a new birth has occurred. When we look back at our lives and remember the time when something changed in us to be drawn to Jesus, we can know that God did something to us. That is why, if you've ever wondered why some receive Christ when he seems so good, so wonderful, and yet so many reject him, even though he seems so wonderful and so good. Some are reborn again, and some are not. So God gives spiritual life, firstly, that's the first point in that verse. Secondly, spiritual sight is given. Well done, Moses, you can come back alive again. So when Jesus said no one can see the kingdom of heaven, he is saying that we are all born, and this is a very uncomfortable truth, we are all born spiritually blind, unless of course someone is reborn in their mother's womb, and potentially John the Baptist was that person, and it can happen again, of course. We cannot see, so without being reborn, we cannot spiritually see how wonderful and true and good Jesus is. We cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus and trust him as Savior unless we are reborn. Now, as Moses wonderfully illustrated, the physically dead cannot see. They cannot bring themselves back to life and make their eyes work. A miracle needs to happen. Likewise, those who are spiritually dead cannot see Jesus as a Savior, and they cannot see their need for forgiveness. Having been reborn, our spiritual eyes are opened, enabling us to see spiritual things. Right? And this is how people are able to receive Jesus Christ. They then are able to see God in Jesus. So new birth brings spiritual life, and new birth brings spiritual sight. And so we are utterly dependent on God for our salvation and the salvation of others. And the instrument, the means through which God brings about this new birth is through the good news of Jesus. It is through a wonderful message. And we're told this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. And here, listen to this, through the living and enduring Word of God. It is through the active and living Word of God that people are born again. So that is why it is vital that we invite people to the Hope Explored course. That is why it's vital that we share this good news to people. That it is why it is vital to join a small group and others and ourselves as much as possible are exposed to the Word of God. Because it is through this wonderful Word that God's given us that people are reborn and saved. And maybe you're here this morning because something is happening to you. You feel this pull, you feel this attraction to Jesus that you had never experienced before. This could be a sign that you have been reborn. And if you are here this morning because that has happened to you many years ago and you are still drawing close to Jesus, no matter how hard life has been, still seeing how wonderful he is, still worshiping him and praising him, then this is a sign that you have been reborn. So be encouraged. If you have been reborn by God, you cannot be unborn, right? The good work that God has started and begun in you, he will complete it and he will finish it. And if you have a holy concern for any family and friends that don't know Jesus, be encouraged. God is able to save them. No one is unsavable because God is unstoppable. So keep praying for them. Keep pointing them to Christ. Spiritual rebirth is a work of God that we cannot control. And the means through which God brings about the new birth is through sharing this wonderful news of Jesus. So let us go and let us pray as if it all depended on God. And let us work as if it all depended on us. Let us labor in prayer and labor in sharing this wonderful good news wherever we are and with whoever we spend our time with. Let me pray. Our Lord, thank you so much that you are God who saves. We thank you so much that you are God who reveals yourself to us, and that you do not desire anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance and to know Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your acts and works of salvation and bringing people alive. Thank you for that greatest miracle, Lord, of regenerating and creating people anew. May you continue to do that in Denton and New Haven and around the country and around the world, that we will see more people, that we will see your spirit revive more people's hearts and lives, Lord, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.